Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination of the book of Daniel. We're doing a little rabbit chasing right here on something, though. It's really more than a rabbit chase, because at the end of the ninth chapter of Daniel, we see several things mentioned. And one of the things is that there's going to be something that is a desolation, something that is an abomination that will occur. Jesus gives us insight into that in Matthew 24. Now, remember, Matthew 24 and 25 is Jesus responding to his disciples asking a question. Other Gospels tell us that it was four disciples that came to him, and they said, "When will these things occur, and what will be the sign of your coming again and of the end of the age?" And, of course, the question is, what things are they referring to? So, apparently, when Jesus came out of the temple that we see at the end of chapter 23 in Matthew, beginning of verse chapter 24, he's coming out and he's walking alone, and he goes down the Kidron Valley and he goes over to the Mount of Olives, and he's talking with them about some things. And they're wanting to know, when's this going to occur? And so we've looked at Matthew 24 up to verse 22, but I wanted to back up to verse 15 and read it again. It says this. This is Jesus speaking now. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things that are in the house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days have been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short." So again, just focusing on what we see here, Jesus is saying that there's going to be a great tribulation. Jesus is the one that coins the phrase great tribulation. Now, that phrase is greatly abused now, and it's applied to all sorts of things that are not the great tribulation. What do we learn about it? He says this great tribulation is of such that has not occurred since the beginning of the world. So Jesus speaks to a timeline related to this. So from the beginning of the world until now. So when Jesus was speaking to his disciples, he said this tribulation is going to be like something that you've never seen from the beginning of the world until now. So is he speaking strictly to the disciples that were listening to him, that had asked a question? Or is he also speaking to us? Beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. So he's saying there's not going to be anything like it after that tribulation. Nothing will be as bad as this. The idea is this, that yes, speaking to the disciples of his day, he's saying there hasn't been anything like it since the beginning of the world until now. Speaking to us, there hasn't been anything like it since the beginning of the world until now. And there's not going to be anything like it. That's what he means when he says, nor ever will. That this is such a great tribulation. There's nothing that's ever been like it. Verse 22 gives more insight. "Unless these days had been cut short." Notice how Jesus is speaking of these days yet future, but he's speaking of them as being in the past. "Unless these days had been cut short." Remember we saw in Daniel that things have been decreed. Things have been determined. The Lord knows what's going to happen. So he says, "Unless these days had been cut short, no life would have been saved." And you say, well, does that mean that everybody would have died? When you look at the balance of the scripture, you find out, and even the balance of this verse, that he's speaking of those who are of the elect of faith, particularly the Jewish people and the church. "But for the sake of the elect," he says, "those days will be cut short." So there's a great tribulation that's going to be poured out. The days will be cut short. Well, do we know how long these days are going to be? Well, actually, we do. Okay, we know, and we'll see more about that later on. We know how long they are. We don't know the exact timing of the cutting short. we have a window, I'll put it that way, okay? And it's a rather precise window of timing, but we don't know the exact hour nor the exact day. So let's continue. Verse 23, Jesus says this, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here's the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe him." Now listen to what Jesus says here in Matthew 24, 24. "For false Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect." And then in verse 25, he says, "Behold, I have told you in advance." Jesus is telling them, Jesus is telling us, that false prophets and false Christ will arise. Now, a lot of times people say, "Oh, yeah, we've got that now. We can point to them, this person, this kind of thing." This is a different level of things, folks. This isn't just your basic person who's standing up and using a walkie-talkie to act like he's got a prophetic gift or something just to raise money, okay? False Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders. Notice that it didn't say that the signs were false and that the wonders were false. False Christ and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders. They will show signs and wonders. And the point is to mislead. And he says, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. The good news is that it's not possible to mislead the elect. The Lord will protect the elect. He will protect us. But he's saying this, the purpose, the goal is to mislead. And he says, I've told you, I'm warning you in advance. Now, the last three verses for today. So if they say to you, "Behold, he is in the wilderness," do not go out. Or, "Behold, he is in the inner rooms," do not believe them. So all these "beholds," you know, in the wilderness, in the inner room, you know, where the Christ is, these are things that the world's going to say about the Messiah and the Christ. And he's saying, no, none of that's going to happen. It's all going to be deception, okay? Don't believe it. Then he tells us what to believe, verse 27. "For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." He is telling us this. That last verse, people always sort of freak out over. What in the world does that mean? He's just saying this. He said, you're accustomed to seeing what the signs are in the natural. So if there's a corpse laying out there, you know that vultures are going to gather. And you know that in just a brief period of time, you'll see the birds, you know, hovering around above them, right? In the same way that you can be sure over that sign, you can know this, that the Son of Man will be coming from the east to the west. And then we're going to learn some more actually here in Matthew related to all that kind of thing, the timing and that kind of stuff. But the bottom line is this, folks, if the sun, moon, and stars don't go dark, if it doesn't get black, okay, then don't believe when somebody says that Jesus is coming or that Jesus has come. It's nothing new. It's been going on 2,000 years. What did Jesus say? Hey, behold, I've told you in advance. Don't believe these folks. They're false Christ and they're false prophets. We will know when he comes. Again, I'm Dale. Thank you so much for your time. We'll continue the next episode. Goodbye.